Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No, I saw Lucy tweets out these podcasts.
Oh, no, that's her from her phone.
Yeah, no, Lucy put her she put her camera up on that. Yeah. So, yeah, that would have got your bald spot. Way to give away all the stories I was going to try to get out of you during this podcast on the show today, Mike.
Who cares? No, it's two different audiences.
I know, but I was going to open with, like, hey, Mike, I heard that you bet on Brian Hoyer in 2015.
People, trust me.
Talking to the mic. Yeah.
People that aren't listening to you're taping now?
I just record and then we roll.
You can tell whatever story you want. Yes, I bet on Brian Hoyer when he threw six interceptions. I remember sitting, it was in my buddy Brian Murphy's house in Groton, Massachusetts. We showed up. We do this thing like every fall, like with the wild card weekend, we'll get the families together. And we just watch whatever games are on. Didn't matter what games were on. But I really liked Houston that year. And Hoyer, I thought, was competent enough. And I think they played the Chiefs. And I just thought the Chiefs are overrated. I like Houston, and he proceeded to have the worst playoff game I've ever seen in my life. Threw six picks. I lost a bunch of money. Like, they're having fun. They're grilling outside. It's a nice winter day, fall day, whatever it was. And I'm just sitting there pissed, sucking on a light beer. Like, I bet on Brian Hoyer.
You hit the bottle.
That's my fault. That's my fault. That's a me problem, not a Brian Hoyer problem.
I think anybody who's ever gambled has had those moments, Mutt.
Oh, I had one last week in the Hall of Fame game. Matt Schaub. I bet I took Falcons -3. Matt Schaub came.
I have not bet preseason, to be
fair. That's your own fault for betting on the preseason.
That might be true, but it was such like a, you know, Benkert bends his foot the wrong way, and all of a sudden Matt Schaub comes in, turns it over. You got Brett Rippon throwing the most bogus touchdown pass I've ever seen in my life.
First two bets I ever made were on the Cowboys.
I hit the bottle after that one.
Both of those ended up poorly. So never going to do that again.
I would just point out that people are betting these games, and for like daily fantasy, this is a huge time of year because these insiders all know who's going to play and who's not going to play. And so people are into them. I like preseason football. I don't love it. There's too much that happens that isn't real. So I will watch it, but I'm not taking a lot away from, you know, what we saw from, is Jared Stidham going to take over Brady? It's a little early. I'm going to, sorry, Jerry Callahan, pump the brakes a little bit on making big projections off one preseason.
Well, we'll have to let Jerry know about this podcast.
We will.
We just shouted him out. We'll title it that on the website.
What's a podcast? I don't even know.
All right, so we won't talk about preseason. We have got Mutt with us here today, if you didn't already figure out that. John Schein back again. Mutt, we've now tied you on gambling podcast episodes, by the way. It's our
Not
second
true.
Episode.
I did six or seven. I haven't done any more. The Eminem, this is why I came on this podcast. First of all, I like both of you.
Thank you.
You both have a good sense of humor, and you're smart guys. And you both should have full-time jobs producing shows.
Look at this.
That being said, I host a podcast called M&M Investments. I don't know if Lou's going to be part of it or not, but I'm going to be doing it every single week during the football season.
M Investments.
So please, something like, we're going to probably call it M&M.
Investments.
Mike Matnansky, I don't know, whatever. But iTunes, M&M Investments, please go download there. And I'm still on the radio, for the record. I'm on a show called Mutt at Night, version 2.0, nightly on WEEI. I'm here to tell the people the podcast is back for the fall and to try to help you guys out because, well, we'll get to the basis of why you want to do this, but this is a little silly for a lot of reasons.
Well, get to that right now.
Okay.
You texted
me yesterday and said you guys are doing on Fridays for this podcast, you're going to do gambling, which I'm all for.
Right.
But then you want to do over-unders in the AFC. We've seen like one preseason game.
I would suggest if you're
really going to give out gambling advice, that most people aren't betting over-unders until we get through and see where the injuries come. The issue right now.
Well, so our whole thing was we're going to go through the preseason. In the final week, we're going to revisit our predictions and think if we still think what we said on these episodes leading up to week one.
That makes some sense. But I would
say, so you didn't listen to the first episode, but
no, I've not been listening. No, I don't listen to any. You guys, no, I'm not. I will because I'm on this one. But I would just say don't go crazy betting season totals right now. If you're going to Twin River to go place bets,
that's
stop and take a break. A couple of reasons. One, you haven't gotten through all preseason yet, and there's a bunch of injuries that can happen. There's roster movement, and so I would not want to make a real bet not knowing what's in front of me. You want to have information on your side when you bet. You don't betting week one of preseason. Number two, your money is going to be tied up the entire season. Like it's one of the problems I don't like futures and over-unders, because if you have a bankroll, you say, I'm going to bet this much on football this year. Well, how much do you want to bet weekly versus how much you want tied up in, well, shit, are the Raiders going to win 6 games or 7 games? Like, I just don't. For me, I have some thoughts on these. I know I'm not going to have a lot invested in over-unders because I want my bankroll to be available to me the entire season, not waiting on a season-long payoff. It's like I don't play season-long fantasy anymore. Give me the daily. Give me the weekly. It's tough to be really good at over-unders.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, even for me, like, I don't like to make these bets super, super early. I generally wait until 4 or 5 weeks into the season, and then I'm looking at, okay, who has the opportunity to win the Super Bowl?
I'm with you.
Because
by the way, the big might be more, but you have a better idea what's going on
exactly.
In front of you.
Exactly. You know what teams are good and what teams are bad.
Yes.
Like, for me, I feel like those week 3 and 4 is when you really start to determine, okay, who can play, who has any talent whatsoever, or who's just going to be like a flash in the pan like last year's Buccaneers, where they come out, they win the first 2 games, they
Bengals
sling the ball
Buccaneers
over the yard.
Year.
Exactly. And then they just fall off the face of the earth.
Okay. So is that the only reason you thought that this whole thing was silly, or is there more to that?
No. The big thing is that if it's a betting podcast, I would wait to tell my listeners who I'm betting on over-unders until you see all the information. You need it. You need an edge. This has gotten now to the point where you can. You know, all these states now have legal betting. Everyone is doing this now. There's a million different podcasts and websites doing this. You don't want to bet unless you have the edge. And the edge right now is not betting season total, unless you have inside information about something. And I don't think most of us have any.
Well, I'm not
going to
tip my hand or anything, but.
Well, you should. That's how you get listed. Like, wow, that guy, John Anderson, he's terrible on Twitter, but he had some inside information for the beginning
that
of the
directly
year.
Directly contradicts something you said about now.
I didn't say anything. It's not true. Nope.
Off the air. There's no recording of that. All right. Well, we'll just go right into it then. We're going to do AFC over-unders. Despite what Mutt just trashed us for doing this topic, we are still going to do the topic because that's the topic we had planned. We're going to do 2 or 3 picks depending on Mutt's time, depending on how long we go. And I will start with you, Mutt. We'll work our way around.
No. I am not going first.
Okay, I will start with Shime, and then it will go to me, and then Mutt.
Yes.
All right, first one I want to go to right away. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. The current win total is set at 8.5. The over's plus 130. The under's minus 150. Last year, they won 10 games. I think this team only gets better. I think the defense is good. Lamar Jackson, I don't really trust him with a lot, but he is another year more experienced. I think that offense is going to be more game-planned around him instead of just throwing him and thrusting him into something he wasn't fully prepared for, and I think they're actually going to be better and have a really good opportunity to win that division. I'm not sold on the Browns. I think the Steelers are going to suck. I'm going to take the over Ravens 8.5 at plus 130.
I agree with that one because we talked about a lot about Lamar Jackson last week as well. And one thing I kind of failed to mention in that whole MVP Lamar Jackson dark horse rant I went on is their defense is always good. It's only been below 12th in DVOA under John Harbaugh, once since 2008, something like that. It's always one of the best defenses, so he's got that backbone in addition to everything they added on offense.
And when it comes to win totals, I look at coaches first and foremost. And there are very few coaches I trust in football. John Harbaugh is on that list. And so that's why I'm going to go with the Ravens.
So it is not one of my picks, but the thing you have going for you there is that division. You're 1,000% right. That is an untrustworthy group. Cleveland might suck. Pittsburgh, they might get 5 wins. 5-1 is not crazy for them in the division. That almost gets you to the 8.5 right there. I like the play in that division.
So Shine mentioned coaches you trust. I'm going to go my first pick. I'm going to go an under on a coach that I absolutely do not trust. His play calling is horrible.
Do not take my pick.
It is Bill O'Brien, and I am going with the Texans. Pick. Under 8.5 for minus 150. Now, their defense last year, they faced the 4th easiest pass defense schedule, opposing offense passing schedule of any team in the last 4 seasons. They finished 18th in pass defense. So their pass defense is really, really bad. And this year, they have to go on the road to face the Saints, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Colts, and the Jaguars. Plus, at home, they have their entire division. So Colts and Jaguars, again, Titans is whatever. They have to face the Falcons, Panthers, Buccaneers passing attack, and Patriots at home as well. And Bill O'Brien is just such a dumb play caller. And this might change a bit with the Duke Johnson trade, because I did type this up before the – or I did come up with these notes before the Duke Johnson trade. So that might force him to actually throw the ball a bit more on first down. But he is renowned for calling a poor pass play or running the ball on first down and then running the ball again on second and 10 and then getting into third and long, and then Deshaun Watson gets sacked or something. Their sack margin last year, I believe it was minus 19. So they're dumb.
Wow.
And I don't trust dumb coaches combined with all of that. I'm taking Texans under 8.5 mutt.
So when you started on dumb coaches and going against them, I was worried you're going to take my pick. And I guess I'll just start there. Give me under 6 wins for the Raiders. I think Jon Gruden is stuck in 1997 and thinks the league still goes a certain way. We didn't see much of him on Hard Knocks, but he just seems like he's not willing to accept the newer some of the new edicts in football, and maybe the analytics of football, and that he's just still stuck in his, we're going to play harder, we're going to play smarter. And he's got a quarterback who I don't think is very good, and he's got a bunch of weird pieces on that team. Richie Incognito, Vontaze Burfict. This thing has a chance to implode all over the place there. And I could see them winning 4 games again, and I could see them being in real trouble and like sitting on 1 win heading close to like October, November. Give me under Raiders 6 wins as my top pick.
And I'm going to actually bounce right off of that because I am in the complete opposite boat.
Ooh.
Wow.
This may be me being too influenced by the first Hard Knocks episode, but at the same time, I don't really care. I've had a lot of faith in Derek Carr since his like junior year in Fresno State. Yes. Okay. I have.
Why?
Because I have watched him
one of
grow.
The Hollister kids.
You've watched him.
Yeah, I've watched him a lot.
You've watched him?
I have, from afar and
okay.
from near.
Okay.
And honestly, I think Derek Carr has struggled the last couple seasons after that back injury. He had that Tony Romo back injury, and he never quite recovered. I think this is the year he recovers. I think you see the Derek Carr that James Jones was talking about in Hard Knocks, where he's going to come out, he's going to sling the football all over the yard, having a guy like Antonio Brown, who I think will be ready for the season.
You have no idea.
No one knows. Nobody knows.
His own team's not talking to him right now.
Yeah, they don't know where he is right now.
What's the frostbite bounce back? What's the trend for guys with frostbite?
He can run. He just has a little trouble cutting. I honestly don't know. I think I might just be swept up in the Hard Knocks hype, and that's fine. And you know what? I'd probably pay for it later. I'm going to take the over 6 wins. I think they go above 500. 8-8 sounds about right for them. I'm going to take the Raiders.
I agree with Mutt on that because Derek Carr is horrible under pressure. Last year, he was the worst QB by QBR under pressure, and his O-line coach is Tom Cable. Tom Cable, infamously since 06, I was trying to pull it up right there, but my phone, it won't load. If you go down the list of his pass offensive lines under Tom Cable, their pass protection efficiency since 2006, it's literally like 28, 27, 24, 26, 32, 30, 31. And even he came to the Raiders a few years ago. I think he went to Seattle for a year. But the year before that, when he came in, that was the year that they had an unbelievable offensive line, and Derek Carr was going to be the MVP before he broke his leg. So
broke
that
his back.
Back. Right, didn't he break his leg?
Might have been both. Who knows?
I don't know. Whatever.
Wow. Over Raiders. You are buying into Hard Knocks, man.
Yeah. Remember the Buccaneers last year?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be awesome.
I've never trusted the Buccaneers as far as I can throw them.
So my second pick, I'm going Jaguars. I'm going over 8. So from 2 years ago to this year, they had the largest sack margin swing in the last 30 years, from plus 31 to minus 16. So their defense was, 2017, their defense was like one of the best 10 best defenses maybe of the 21st century. And last year, they were still an elite defense, but it's like those small swings from just unbelievable to just like kind of okay, or excuse me, not okay, but like unbelievable to still great, but not putting up these massive turnover numbers or sacks. That was the difference with the offense, especially when they had the most injured offensive line in the league last year as well. So my difference this year is that these people are back. They bring in John DeFilippo, who is smart despite Mike Zimmer firing him when the Vikings were 4-2-1, saying, no, we're going to run the ball, and then magically they don't make the playoffs. I wonder why. So John DeFilippo has his guy Nick Foles. Every time Nick Foles has been on the field the last 2 years, he has done exactly what the coaches told him to say, and that's why those Eagles teams were successful. So I'm taking Jaguars. They are over 8 at plus 120.
I'm going to stay in Florida, and I admit the Raiders one is the one I have most confidence in. If I were really going to make a bet, I watch them during the rest of the training camp. If things go the way they've gone, I would bet on these other two. They're flyers, but to me, they'd be worth it. So the Miami Dolphins have an over-under total of 5. If you bet the over, you're getting a plus 120. And this is more of a bet against the Bills and Jets than it is on the Dolphins. But they had their, I think they had their quarterback situation kind of sort of figured out. They always win a game or two at the end of the year where it's hot and teams go down there and they can't play in Miami. And their coaching staff is 10 times better than it was. Adam Gase with the smelling salts on the side last night for the Jets. He's out of there. They bring back a guy who we saw coach the defense here last year in New England. I think it's more of a bet against Josh Allen in Buffalo and a bet against Darnold and the Jets and sort of the hype they're getting. Give me the Dolphins over 5.
And I'm going to pivot right off of that. I'm going to take the Jets at under 7.5.
So we're on the same way.
Yeah,
so
same way.
I cut it. I could have gone the either way, but I got to commit to my guy. Josh Rosen just got moved there, so I'm going to go over. But I can see why. Go Jets. Go.
And I'm going to go Jets with the under. You're getting even money here. It's, you know, it's pretty simple. No, I think the Jets are just, they're overhyped. I think Darnold will get better, sure. I still don't think they're going to win 8 games. They're not a 500 team.
Their offensive line is horrible.
Yeah, and they have one receiver?
Right.
What are you going to throw to Robbie Anderson every play?
Jamison Crowder might not be bad out of the slot.
Okay, sure. But
Le'Veon Bell's fat now, though.
And again, we bring up Adam
Gase. He can't catch the ball.
No, and we bring up coaches we don't trust. I don't trust Adam Gase and his wide-eyed looks. You kidding me? He's an idiot. You can go smelling salts on the sidelines all you want. You're not going to win 8 games.
Yeah, they pulled Matt Khalil out of retirement or Ryan Khalil or something. It's like, okay, so you pulled a bad center out of retirement.
Cut by the Panthers.
He was retired, and then I don't know. He was bad though. Like, he's washed up. They're trying to spin it as like, oh, but he's a good locker room guy. He'll teach the other guys in the locker room what's what and all this stuff.
Teach him all you want.
They traded for a guard from the Ravens too, I think. We're getting deep into O-line talk. We do this too much. We start talking about guards and everything.
John loves his O-line.
I know he does.
Loves that trenches.
And going off of what you guys just said, I'm going Bills over 7.
Really?
And I have been ranting and raving about the Bills all offseason. I've been begging Andy Hart and Ryan Hannibal to let me talk about the Bills on the off day, but I'm never there when they record it, so whatever. They replaced 4 out of 5 starters on their offensive line this year. Here we go with the O-line. I just said I wouldn't do it, but here I am doing it. They bring in Mitch Morse, center from Kansas City. All of the guards, they have brought in a starter and somebody to compete with them. So nobody's complacent. There's no complacency there. Cody Ford, second-round pick, will start at right guard
probably.
You've
got to play for your job, Sean. You've got to work.
Ty Nisecki from the Redskins, right tackle. Boom, brand new offensive line. Shady McCoy needs to get cut. That's the next step. They prioritized speed at wide receiver, whereas last year they were going for more of catch radius with the guys like Kelvin Benjamin, who take 90 hours to get down the field, but you know they can catch the ball if it's in within 20 feet of them, hypothetically, although Kelvin Benjamin couldn't really do that. John Brown and Cole Beasley in there. Defense was already one of the best defenses in the league last year. Kind of got screwed by the offense because field position, that stuff, and complimentary football, like you talked about in the first 10 minutes of Dalen Keefe today.
It's a good show.
And then Sean McDermott is a smart coach. He is the complete opposite of Adam Gase.
How do you know that? Honestly, he jumps around like he's a special teams coach. How do you know he's a smart coach?
Because when the Cleveland Browns very stupidly hired Hugh Jackson, that's what they brought in all these different consultants to say, who should you hire? They told them to hire Sean McDermott.
Oh, so the consultants who, gotcha. All right. Gotcha.
Well, those consultants told them, those people told them to draft Jimmy
Garoppolo.
These
are the baseball people, right, in the front office there in Cleveland?
I don't think so. I don't know.
My issue isn't even so much with taking the Bills. I think overall my issue is just with the numbers alone. So you're talking, you want the over of 7 wins, you're getting -125.
I know that part. I'm more of just saying
they're going
to win more
than
7 games.
Here that's difficult to get, and you're not getting great odds. Like, I think numbers wise, outside of whether it's the Bills or, you know, another middling team, I just think with the numbers wise, that's just a bad bet.
All right. And I will go one more here. And I looked at this for a while. I think they're the best team in the give me 11 or 12 wins for the Chiefs. So if the Tyreek Hill thing, they're at 10.5 right now. If Tyreek Hill does not pop up, and maybe it's a gamble that he's able to stray in the straight and narrow, maybe it ends up haunting him during the year. If it does, then my bet's going to be a loser. But if the league really lets him play this thing out and he commits to this year, they have an explosive offense. They spent a lot of money on the defense. They get rid of their terrible defensive coordinator. They're just freakishly talented on both offense and defense, and I know they play in a tough division, but 11-5 feels like a lock if everyone stays healthy. So it's one of the higher totals on the board. I think the Patriots at 11 are the only other higher total. But I'll give me 10.5 Chiefs on the over, betting on talent. And then Andy Reid can keep them together. If he can, they're going to win 11, 12 games. They're the best quarterback in the league.
They just brought in like 90 defensive backs.
They loaded up on defense. They went out and spent money on defense. They got a new coordinator. I'm not rooting for it. I don't root for Tyreek Hill, but if you're looking just at the numbers, and you're getting plus 100 on that, so they're sort of asking you to bet that, and Vegas is hoping you bet it. I'll spin into that. I will spin into the car accident here. Give me the over on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I really like that Kansas City Chiefs pick, and I'm actually going to take the next team high on the board as well. I'm going to take the over on the Indianapolis Colts. I am all in on the Colts being an AFC title contender here. I think as long as Andrew Luck limits his interception numbers, I think you have two all-pros anchoring your team, one on offense, one on defense, between Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard, and you are set. You are ready to go. I think this team has weapons. T.Y. Hilton is one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league. That guy catches everything. He's all over the field. I think Marlon Mack's bound to have a breakout year. I don't hate Frank Reich. I think he's relatively smart, and he's got some balls.
He looks pretty smart offensively.
Yeah, and he's got some balls. And at plus 130, I like the number. I'm going to take the over on 10 wins for the Colts.
His neck beard just makes him look smart, though. Best meme of last year was when someone took a picture of Frank Reich and said, Frank Reich just asked what IPAs they have on tap.
Only he would. I mean, this is the meme king at WEEI, John.
100%.
How am I the meme king? We like can't even post memes.
I only have, tweet them out from your own account.
That's
fine.
A good idea by you. I only have three. That's all I have.
Yeah, no, that's all I have, too.
Yeah.
Shime has four, apparently.
He's got, no, he has five. What's your fifth?
Well, I have a bunch here. I just, you know, I like to circle
we had agreed.
Pretend money. It's Monopoly money. Go bet all my picks. Oh, so
Mutt and I are going to walk out of the room. Shime will keep rambling for another 20 minutes.
Nah, you know, I could go
teams. You're going to go around the league.
We're good. I'm good. I got my say in on
going around the NFL. So I had Texans under 8.5, Jaguars over 8, Bills over 7. Mutt, yours were?
I got Raiders under 6. Give me the Chiefs over 10.5 wins. And my third pick was Dolphins over 5. And I have one other question before we go. Go ahead, Sean.
And I have Ravens over 8.5, Raiders over 6, Jets under 7.5, and then Colts over 10.
You said something earlier about Andy and Hannibal at the Off Day podcast. What podcast is this?
This is the Off Day podcast, but we posted on Saturday mornings, and I was like, ah, the payday. So I'm their producer.
Oh,
Rob
oh, so
had
you,
said, yes.
So you are part of the Off Day podcast.
Correct. Yes. So Rob. But so Rob
like
had
the,
said Rob
this is
had
the JV
wanted
team.
Basically.
Oh. Basically, Rob wanted it to be me, Andy, and Ryan doing it. I was producing it, but he was like, yeah, jump in, though, be a part of it.
Yep.
They're down at Gillette all the time, so I can't go down to Gillette, really. So, but I was going to do a mini Saturday show anyway, because we drop it Saturday morning. It makes sense for it to be more of a gambling angle on it, but it also gives Shime and I an excuse to talk about other teams in the NFL.
Because all we
used to do
on Sundays was come in, we'd work the Patriots game, real post-game show with Glenn, and we'd talk about gambling.
We do it anyway, so might as well do it behind a mic.
Smart. You guys are battling with the other podcasts here to try to get to how many followers do you need?
1,000, and we are.
If you think this is going to help, you're wrong. If you're like, oh, we'll get that.
Oh no! I don't think this is. This has nothing.
Well, Mutt, your Mutt at Night account has like 60,000. You should be able to help.
But I don't even get control. Eamon, who's a producer here, controls it. He's terrible.
I am signed into that account still.
Well, you're okay. He's terrible. So
I'm okay.
I hope
so
this.
We're inching towards what you said off the air.
Yeah.
Earlier.
maybe someday
we're not gonna
you guys
get
will get 1,000. Does Lucy's podcast have the most followers right now?
No,
no
the Skate Pod.
Skate Pod does because Matt
just
Kalman, 10 times a day, will tweet, like, hey, we're almost to 380. Who's going to be 380? Who's going to be 660? Stuff like that.
Kerosene Ken, he brings the takes. So that's helpful to that podcast.
It does. That's why he was on Pittsburgh Radio.
He's very good.
All right, that'll do it there. Mutt, man, thank you.
Good seeing you guys.
Appreciate it, Mutt.
Good luck. Follow Mutt. I'm still on the air. Mutt at Night and M&M Investments Podcast back next week.
At Shime Time, at John WI, at Off
See you guys.
Pod. Fun.
See you, Mutt. Thank you.
And we do have an Instagram account that I try to post to, and it's kind of hard to keep up with. At Off Day Podcast, Facebook.com/Off Day. Shime, anything you need to say?
Nope. Great show, as always.
Perfect. Later.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.